I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Daniel Fish, the acclaimed director of theater, video, and opera, joins me now to discuss his new piece at the Push Festival, Eternal. It plays at the Western Front on the 3rd through the 6th of February. It has been described as a cunning avant-garde piece that involves theater, video, and features actors Christina Rauner and Thomas J. Ryan, recorded close-up for 2 hours performing the final scene from the movie Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. The reviews of the piece where it's played everywhere have been quite good, describing the experiment as played off brilliantly. The performers keep going no matter what happens. Daniel Fish is based out of New York. He has taught at Juilliard, the Yale School of Drama, Bard College, and Princeton. His work has been seen throughout the United States and Europe. Visit danielfish.net for more information and pushfestival.ca for tickets and information. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Daniel Fish. Mr. Fish, good morning.
Good morning. Good afternoon or good morning. Thanks.
It's good morning here in Vancouver, but good afternoon where you are. How long is this last scene in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind that you create in the show Eternal?
The scene itself plays anywhere from probably 4 to 6 minutes, and the actors do it 23 times, so the piece is just under 2 hours long.
So in terms of, I also read somewhere that you wanted this to be 3 hours, is that right?
It's a 2 hour long piece. At some point we discussed whether it should be 3 hours or whether it should be 2 hours, and we all decided that it would be a 2 hour long piece.
I see, yeah. So how does a piece like Eternal come about? Was it your idea to do this for 2 hours?
It comes about because the two actors, Thomas J. Ryan and Christina Rauner, and I had done a theater piece a couple of years ago based on Nicholas Ray's film Bigger Than Life, and in that the two of them performed the entire script of the film back and forth as a performance, live performance, and we wanted to work on something else together, and over the course of a year and a half and trial and error and lots of experiments, we hit upon this. And the way we hit upon it was at some point I was working on, I had an idea to transcribe the last scenes of about 65 films or so, and I thought we would work on these last scenes, these ideas of endings, and that would become sort of an evening, a live performance. And at some point in that, it was going okay, but it wasn't great. And we hit upon this last scene from Eternal Sunshine, and some instinct asked me to told me to ask him to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. And this was just in a workshop, but it was very informal. And they did that for about 20 minutes or so. And at that time, we all sort of looked at each other and went, okay, well, this is what we've been working on for the year and a half. That's kind of how it happened. And at that point, it also became clear that it needed to be a video work, something that they could really only do once.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I'd seen the movie maybe 5-6 years ago, and when I saw the short clip that's online, sort of a trailer of Eternal, I must admit I didn't remember the scene as much, but I remember the words, and it's amazing when I see the two actors do it, and then go back and say rewatch the film, Al. And not necessarily, well, I guess they are different, but I mean, what comes out of the performances of these two actors is just remarkable, because then the scene takes on these other dimensions that you know, you can't have possibly imagined, and to do it 23 times, I mean, there's something different each time, isn't there?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But what is it about the endings of movies, or not even the endings of movies, but certain scenes for movies, how we remember them?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure I know how to articulate that. I mean, but it's true. There are scenes that take a hold on, take a hold on us. I think of the last scene of this film, the last scene of The Way We Were, the last scene of La Dolce Vita. There are a great many of them, I'm not sure what it is, and it may be different for everybody. But there are these scenes that they do. They do exert a power, and I think sometimes they have the capacity to linger and for us to remember them, 5, 10, even 20 or 30 years after.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, I turned on the TV last night, and they had the remains of the day on Turner Classic. And I started watching a little bit of it, and then I still remember the last scene of the movie where the pigeon comes into the room where Christopher Reeve and Anthony Hopkins are. And I remembered it differently. And so when it finally came to that last scene on TV last night, it was something different than I had remembered. And I guess that we remember things differently, and then these scenes have a meaning onto themselves in our minds, and then when you do it a number of times, as your actors do in Eternal, were you surprised at how different each take was?
Yeah, I mean, we should say that there's only one take. Right?
There's only one take, but there's 23 right, versions, of the scene.
Yeah, I mean, I was surprised. We didn't set out to make each of them different, when I think it's really cooking, they're not trying to make it different. They're just opening themselves to the language of what's going on between the two of them, and that is what makes it different. But there's not an attempt from the actor's point of view to try to bring variety to it. In fact, on the contrary, I think they tried to resist that urge.
And so as the director of the piece, did you have a lot of discussions with the actors beforehand as to how to react to the piece?
No, almost none. We the three of us know each other very well. There's an enormous amount of trust and between us. And once we hit on this idea, they went away, they memorized it, we came back 6 weeks later, we did a camera lighting and sound test, came back the next day, and shot it one time. That was the deal. We're going to do it once, and that's it, we're not going to stop. And there was very little rehearsal or discussion. There was some, but not a lot, and pretty much everything you see, it's not staged, it's not choreographed, it's what happened naturally between the two of them.
And so what was the day like, or evening, or whenever this was when you filmed it? What was going on around you? What was the mood like? Because, I mean, we can see...
It was daytime. Yeah. It was in my apartment. It was August. It was hot. We had to turn off the air conditioner, of course, for the sound. It was intense and kind of exhausting. And we didn't really know. I mean, I didn't know what we had until I looked at it. Maybe a week after we shot it. When we shot it, it wasn't clear to me whether it was going to be any good or not. And I knew there were things that worked, but it was only really after I looked at it that I thought, okay, this has something to it.
Yeah. And I understand that Thomas J. Ray, he was in the movie?
Tom was in the movie, ironically, yes. It's Tom has a small part. Yeah.
The authors of the film, Michel Gondry and Charlie Kaufman, are they familiar with the show? What have they thought of it?
I don't believe they are. I mean, not to my knowledge, but
yeah. I mean, it'd be fascinating to know what they think in terms of how their words.
I mean, you know, for me, I get a lot of questions about this, about the relationship of this piece to that film, and the film was a jumping off point. The film is not what this piece is about. It's not a comment on the film. You don't need to know the film to view the piece. I have not watched the film in its entirety since it came out in 2003. Hmm. So, it's really, the piece is it's meant to be its own thing. Entirely its own work, that uses language, from that particular scene of the film. And I like the film enormously, and I have great respect for it. But this is not about Eternal Sunshine.
And so the actors, after they filmed this, because they went 2 hours straight doing this over and over again, I mean, it must have been exhausting. What have they thought after the process?
When Christina ultimately came and saw it, we were showing it in a theater in New York, and she came, and I was a little nervous about her seeing it, and I came to her afterwards, and I said, "So, what did you think?" And she said, she paused, and she said, "Yeah, I thought making it was the hardest thing I ever had to do." Meaning that, of course, watching it was even harder.
Yeah.
think they were exhausted. I think it was difficult. I think they both reacted differently. I think she was a lot more tired at the end of it than he was. I said cut. He was like, it's over already. And she was exhausted. But she goes, they go on different emotional journeys.
Yeah, and so have you talked to people who've seen Eternal and the reactions that you get from them? I mean, but by the way, are they usually fans of the film?
I don't know. It's not usually, for me, that's not really part of the conversation, though. I don't think so.
Yeah. And the commitment that all of you have had to undertake in the time that you did this, I mean, to get actors who would take the time to do this over and over again. I mean, I guess that's easy because you've known these two folks, right?
Yeah, but not any two actors could have done this. This piece is really, crafted around these two individual actors, man. Nobody else could have done it.
Yeah. And what sort of history did these two actors have heretofore?
We made another piece together in 2010 that was based on Nick Gray's film Bigger Than Life. So they had done that together. And since they appeared in Hal Hartley's last film together. They had both worked with me separately, and then they worked on that piece with me together, and then over a year and a half we developed what would become Eternal. So there was a lot of time spent in the room together.
This is not necessarily about these two actors in Eternal, but as a director, can you get two people who are in a scene together or in a piece together to trust one another? I mean, is that something that you can say force them to do? Maybe.
Can you force trust? No,
yeah.
I don't think so. I don't think you can force trust. I think you can. I think you can try to create circumstances in which it can unfold, and that's a combination of skill, intuition, psychology, and luck, all mixed together, I think.
I guess at the end of the day, do the actors and they obviously feel trust amongst themselves, but can you as a director see if they're faking it?
Yes.
Hmm.
Yeah. Quite quickly.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. It's been fascinating to talk to you about this piece, and from what I've seen of it, I can't wait to see the whole thing. I appreciate your time today. Thanks for this.
My pleasure. Okay, I'll talk to you soon.
Daniel Fish joined me on the line from New York City in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plata.